Karlsson, Karlsson, världens bästa Karlsson. Karlsson, Karlsson, hoj här kommer Karlsson. Karlsson, Karlsson, ingen faktiskt, ingen annan Karlsson spelar jag så bra som mig.
Karlsson, Karlsson, Karlsson scores!
Karlsson, Karlsson,
welcome everybody to another episode of the Keeping Carlson Fantasy Hockey Podcast, the longest running fantasy hockey podcast in the world, hosted by a guy who's feeling a little bit like maybe Connor Bedard, or like we thought Connor Bedard would feel like at the start of the season. You know, like, I'm going to have to kind of do this on my own. But you know what? It's kind of worked out pretty well for him. He's had a pretty good year. Hopefully I won't be injuring my shoulder partway through this episode. But yeah, I am solo today. Elon Dubrovsky. Brian is on vacation. I reached out to like a couple people that were telling me like, bro, it's holidays. I'm busy. And I was like, okay, I'm going to stop reaching out to people because clearly I'm just bugging them when they've got other stuff going on. I figured out, okay, maybe I can just do this myself. I want to try to make sure everyone's up to speed. You know, when you go into that holiday break, and I did a matchup maximizer yesterday and I talked about the NHL schedule for next week, which is basically just Monday, Tuesday, 3 days off, and then Saturday, Sunday. So I want to make sure that when you get into those 3 days off, you're at least up to speed as much as possible with everything going on in the league. So then you could relax, enjoy your Christmas or whatever you're up to. And, you know, come back in the know. And yeah, so we've got a lot to talk about. I'll dive in. I invited the patrons of Keeping Carlson to join me. I would love to like go off the rails. If anyone wants to ask me a question in the chat or give me a topic they want to discuss, I'd be down to keep it kind of loose. I don't think I've done this before, a mega show all by myself. I think there was one time that Brian like was late and he wasn't responding or something. I didn't know when he was going to be showing up. So I think I started, but he joined me at some point. So yeah, this will be my first, I think, full mega show solo. So if you like it, great. And if you don't, it's not going to happen again, probably. So you don't have to worry about it. But I think we'll have some fun here. Yeah, so I've, like I said, I've taken notes on every team, doing one of those. Figured, why don't we start in the middle of the league? I'll go alphabetical. I'm going to start in New Jersey, okay? Because that's where the biggest news is happening. I'm going to say actually one more thing before I start, before I get into New Jersey. I'm in a very tight couple matchup right now. I am playing against Maxime Bey in Tier 3 Leungby. I'm up 231 to 222 at the exact moment. The projector has us close, like a ton of games going today. So it really could just go in any direction. So I have no idea how I'm going to stay focused. And I can't even like, you know, throw to Brian and have him say stuff while I check out the scores and also like kind of bring up stats for the next team. So I actually have no idea how this is going to go. But this is definitely an added complication where I don't think I'm going to be able to stop myself from checking the scores of my matchup as we go. But yeah, like I said, I want to start in New Jersey. They've got a bunch of players back, including a guy on my couple roster, Timo Meier. No points yet, but I think even the bigger news in Timo Meier, who was out for personal reasons, so hopefully everything is going okay with the Meier family. But Jack Hughes, did anyone know this? Like, I saw today. I was taking my kid to dance class in the morning, and sort of the way things work for GameDayTweets.com is I'm always on the morning shift, and then Shams, who's West Coast, so he wakes up a little later, then he kind of takes over with retweets. So, you know, she went in doing her dancing. I was out there, like, just looking on Twitter, retweeting things as they came up, and I saw, like, Jack Hughes is at morning skate, and I thought, okay, sometimes I see these tweets that are at the morning skate, but they could still be, like, a month away, especially if it's, like, a hand injury. Like, then all of a sudden, it was like, no, he's in the lineup. Oh, he's going to be on the power play. Like, I was like, oh, shoot, he's back. And guess what? He's already scored a goal. New Jersey's playing Buffalo right now. And yeah, Jack Hughes has scored, assisted by Dawson Mercer and Colton White. So yeah, welcome back, Jack Hughes. Hopefully everyone who has him on their roster, you know, like brought him in and got that goal. Very exciting. Nice little present before the holidays. And like I said, so you've got Jack Hughes back. The Devils have Timo Meier back. Also, Arseny Gritsyuk, who was injured, he's back. And yeah, this Devils team, all of a sudden, they're waiting on Simon Nemec still, who I saw a tweet saying he could be back like by the end of the year. So we might, I don't want to jinx it, like a healthy New Jersey Devils team. You don't see that very often. I can tell you the lines for today. Hischier with Meier and Bratt, which was the line when everyone was injured, right? Except for those three. So I'm glad they're staying together as someone with Timo Meier, because that was going pretty well. And then Jack Hughes centering Dawson Mercer and Arseny Gritsyuk. Like I said, Hughes has scored already, assisted by Mercer. Great spot for Gritsyuk if he can hold it, playing with Jack Hughes. And you look at the bottom six, like, who should bump them, right? Then you've got, like, Palat, Glass, and Brown, Nason, Glendening, and Cotter. So, yeah, I think that's a pretty solid top six. I'm very curious to see how this game is going to go for New Jersey. And, yeah, I think the main takeaway for fantasy is, yeah, maybe an uptick for Mercer, maybe an uptick for Gritsyuk playing with Jack Hughes. And hopefully Jack can stay healthy, continue his successful season, right? Okay, on defense, I did want to mention Luke Hughes has been running the top power play now for the last little while with Nemec out. Nemec did take it for a little bit. Hughes on a nice little run going into today. 4 points in his last five games. So we'll see if he can keep that up. He's had a couple high shot games, which we like to see. 4 shots in one game, 5 in another. Only one against Utah on Friday, but still overall some pretty good numbers from Luke Hughes. On the flip side, Dougie Hamilton. And this is also, by the way, something new for me. A solo mega show is like, I normally can like throw to Brian and let him answer the question. So I'm gonna, this is going to be more like, I'm going to ask some questions. I don't have the answers. People in the chat, I'd love to see your answers. But I think that's still a service, right? These are the things that we're thinking about. And here's something I'm definitely thinking about. Dougie Hamilton, is he worth holding on fantasy rosters? I thankfully don't have him anywhere. But dude is currently pointless in 12 games, in 11 games or 12 games. I'm not sure if today's counted with the stats I'm looking at here. But only 8 points in 32 games on the season for Dougie Hamilton. It's been an absolute disaster. The only reason he's on fantasy rosters is just because of what he's done in the past. Even you look at his shots. Yeah, he had 5 shots against Utah, so that's good. But before that, there was games with 2, 1, 1. So like the one big thing that he's generally good for, Hamilton, even that like hasn't been totally consistent with the shots. So I don't like know what to tell you. Like snoozer alert potentially. If I had him, I don't know. I might just, you know, it's one of those things like D's hard to come by. He steals a defenseman who plays like 20 plus minutes, shoots, like maybe things will get better now with Jack Hughes and everyone healthy. I don't know, but man, this has definitely been like a disaster of a season for Dougie Hamilton. And I can't imagine there's huge reason to expect things to turn around, especially if Luke Hughes is going to hold that spot on the top power player. Simon Nemec, he's got a bunch of people he's got to fight for that deployment. Shams is saying in the chat here, Mercer is interested in taking the face off for Hughes. So maybe Hughes isn't 100%. I mean, yeah, I guess that's like some real fine motor with those fingers and your hand for a face off. So, I mean, he scored a goal, right? So for fantasy, he's good enough. Like, I'm sure his managers are happy. And yeah, we'll see. But like, that's good also for Dawson Mercer. If he's going to be stuck with Hughes because he needs to take all the faceoffs, then that's less chance of him getting bumped to the third line. Okay, so that's New Jersey. That's what I got. Again, people here, let me know if you have something you think I've missed. We can circle back. Let's go to the New York Islanders now, who aren't playing today. They did play against Buffalo yesterday. They lost 3-2. How about this stat line? Emil Heinemann, a goal and 10 shots. Who does this guy think he is? Like Jason Robertson, Wyatt Johnson, like, there's someone else I'm going to talk about later that I saw had 10. Oh, Brady Tkachuk had 10 shots yesterday. So Emil Heinemann in good company with his stat line yesterday. And I mean, he's in a good spot in the lineup playing with Drouin and Pageau, which like, as I said it and read it, it's like, that's not even that good. I guess Horvat's injured. At one point, Heinemann was playing with Barzal. Though I'm seeing yesterday Barzal was playing with Anders Lee and Simon Holmstrom. So I think Heinemann, like, he's been solid all season. I know there's been some cold streaks we've talked about on the show, but clearly I love a guy with big game potential. So even if a guy's cold, I like the fact that he might give you 10 shots. Like now, like that's, we've seen it. It's been unlocked. We know it's there. So I think a Heinemann in your deeper leagues is always going to be an interesting stream because that's not something, you know, like there's sometimes you get like a random guy getting a goal and an assist and you're like, yeah, that's never going to happen again. But like a 10 shot game, like, show me the list of players who have had 10-plus shot games in the past couple years. I'm sure it's, like, the large majority is superstars. I don't think there's many randos in there. I'd be interested to see that if anyone wants to pull that up for me while I'm blabbing along here. Speaking of Matt Barzal, by the way, who's on that other line, he's on a nice little run, right? 7-game point streak, including a goal and an assist yesterday against Buffalo, bringing himself slowly back to trying to get to point per game. He's at 29 points in 35 games on the season. So that's like a 68, 70 point pace, which would be a huge improvement over last year. Barzal did only play 30 games, but he had only 20 points in those games. The year before, he was point per game, which was the big breakout where we thought maybe this was a new Matt Barzal. We're also seeing some increased shots lately. He had 4 shots yesterday. two shots before. I guess there's still a lot of ones and twos. So yeah. But anyways, what are you going to do with this information? Maybe the main thing is like Anders Lee is playing with Barzal, like I said. And you know what? He's actually really gotten going himself. And he might be available in a lot of people's free agencies. Last year, Lee kind of came out of like having been thrown to the wayside. You know, there'd been a few years of Anders Lee just like not being worthwhile in fantasy anymore since, like, you know, he was really good back when Tavares was around, and then he sort of like faded. And then last year was a pretty good season, like overall 54 points with a good number of shots and hits, and like, yeah, he was like rosterable, I'd say, in Kakupfel. Then this year he was getting drafted, and I think the majority of leagues, I remember at some point he fell to free agency for me in my Kakupfel division, and I was into Anders Lee, grabbed him, did nothing. It was like on a great week. It was like a four game, like off days week. So I like held him all through nothing. I remember just being so excited for the opportunity to drop Anders Lee once the good schedule was over. But since then, you know, 3 points in his last three games. And if you go a little bit further back, he had that 2-goal, 2-assist game against Anaheim last week. And like I said, if he's playing with Barzal, he's also got, he was on the top power play, Lee, in yesterday's game against Buffalo, not in the games before. So I'm seeing it was Lee, Duclair. Oh, maybe it was just that power play got a bit more time. Okay, no. So he's still not necessarily on that top unit. No, you know what? I'm looking at Frozen Tools right now. I'm seeing Lee, Drouin, Barzal, Heinemann, Richie was a unit. So was that five forwards? And then I'm seeing another one of Lee, Duclair, Holmstrom, Sipikov. I don't know what they were doing. I'm going to be honest, because why wouldn't Matthew Schaefer be out there? But Matthew Schaefer played a lot of minutes also on the power play. So probably that this is just a false alarm and Anders Lee is not top power play, but still looking pretty good. He's already up to a 52-point pace, and last year he had 54-point pace, and that had him rosterable, like I said. If he can get top power play, that would be a whole other story. I'm not sure if like it's like Callum Ritchie or Jonathan Drouin or Heinemann, like you'd think maybe at some point it's possible Lee can get there. So definitely keep him on your radar if you're like me and thought like, okay, Anders Lee's like done. Last year was just like a bit of a surprise, but that's over now. Like it seems like, no, there's like a little bit of life left. We're still seeing some points from him. Sorry, I got distracted there because I started scoreboard watching. Pittsburgh just scored. Rickard Rakell from Rust and Crosby. Okay, I don't think that's touching my matchup at all, but the Habs have Jacob Dobesch in net after Fowler had a shutout yesterday. So I guess, you know, Pittsburgh is a team that's not, like, it was against Pittsburgh, right? That Fowler had the shutout. So you'd think now it's like, okay, let's see what you can do, Dobesch. And so far, not as good. But okay, I guess we'll get to Montreal. Do I have something? Let me just do Montreal now. Who cares? They've made a trade. Actually, Phil Deneau has been traded to the Montreal Canadiens. He obviously was there for a long time before. And since then, Montreal desperately needs center help since Kirby Dach can't stay healthy. I'm seeing even Jake Evans is injured, who I believe was one of their lower line centers. So yeah, I guess we'll see if Deneau like hasn't been having a great season. I'm not expecting much like fantasy wise. Maybe it helps the team. Maybe it helps the goalies a little bit. Also in Montreal, like Mike Matheson is back. He was hurt for a little. Didn't do anything yesterday. Like I said, they're playing again today. I do have Mike Matheson. Would love anything. And that can make the difference in this matchup, right? If Matheson could come out of the blue and give me like that assist that I need to take me over the top, like, it would be super appreciated. So just a small request. And then, yeah, in net, like I said, so Montembeau is like in the minors now. He's doing a conditioning stint or something. I don't know how they were able to justify that without him having to go through waivers, but he's going to be back soon. So the Habs are going to have to figure something out because Fowler, again, had the shutout. Before that, like, Jacob Fowler had a couple not great games, though you'd expect that. Like, you'd want your rookie to, like, face a little bit of adversity and, you know, see how he bounces back. And so it's pretty impressive that after a couple not-so-great outings, here, I'll give you the exact stats here. So he had, like, 3 goals against Philly and 5 goals against the Rangers. But to come back now and get a shutout against Pittsburgh, I think that's pretty impressive. It was also like 31 save shutout, so not nothing, even though Pittsburgh isn't the strongest team. So yeah, now Dobesch, I think he's been good too lately, by the way. So I don't know. I think I've been seeing on Twitter like Habs fans being like, leave Montembeau in the minors if you can. Like, let the young guys go. So that'll be interesting. You know, the Oilers, I know, need a goalie right now with this Jari injury. So you've got to wonder if maybe a trade. I wonder if Montembeau, you've got like Frederick Anderson who hasn't played in a million years. I wonder if one of these guys gets traded at some point with these teams that have 3 goalies now. Anyways, otherwise on Montreal, I don't think there's that much to talk about, right? Suzuki's continuing his insane season. Lane Hutson going off. Their 1 goal today. Oliver Kapanen, who like continues to just like every once in a while like produce like pretty nice season for Oliver Kapanen for what we were expecting from him. But that's basically the story out of Montreal. Well, now I just got to do Nashville, right, to connect the dots here, because I've done New Jersey, New York Islanders. Let's just go back to Nashville, finish the ends. Steven Stamkos, he's keeping it up. It wasn't just that four-goal game. A nice one-goal, one-assist yesterday, and yeah, that goal was on the empty net, but you know what? It all counts. OV managers know from last year. Stamkos, that brings him to now 4 points in his last three games, 8 points in his last five games. That does include the four-goal game, but that's not including today. So today, Nashville is playing against the Rangers. I've got Stamkos on like a cupful team. Would love for him to just keep it going a little bit longer. Hey, keep it going all season. Pretty sweet to get Steven Stamkos out of free agency. It really seemed like he was cooked all of a sudden now. You know, it was also four shots, by the way, yesterday. He's not taking like so many shots, but if you look at the game log recently, I'm seeing a 4, 2, 3, 5. It was 9 in that four goal game, but he had 6 the game before that. So I don't, and Nashville, by the way, like is good now. I think we talked about this recently, like all of a sudden, Nashville is like, I mean, they just beat the Leafs, which was like, I don't know if you want to say embarrassing for the Leafs or like awesome for Nashville or a combo of the two, but it's not as if they were like terrible and then like beat the Leafs. And it's like, what are you doing, Toronto? Like they've been good. Like you look at UC Saros, he's got 4 wins in his last 5 games. Like he had one game that wasn't incredible against Carolina, but like, let's be fair. Aside from that, yeah, win against St. Louis, another win against St. Louis, a win against Colorado, which was wild back on December 9th. So Saros, like if you held on to him or got him super cheap, you're happy right now. Ryan O'Reilly's on a 6-game point streak, up to a 68-point pace on the season. This is a guy who I saw in free agency in my division also, along with Steven Stamkos. Could have had him for free. So definitely check if you've got a Stamkos or an O'Reilly still out there. I'd be curious to know what others think. I don't think this is just like some random blip by Nashville. It seems like maybe, like, I don't think they're going to be like incredible, but I think that this is like, these are the top guys on the team. They're starting to get points. One crazy stat that I think Shams retweeted, the power play team leader on the team isn't Stamkos, isn't Ryan O'Reilly, but going into today's game against the Rangers, Nashville's power play leader is Erik Haula with 8 power play points. I don't even know if that many people knew that Haula's there. He's having an okay season, 18 points in 35 games. We got 8 of them on the power play. Is he even on? Like, this must be from power play too. Like, this is a very unlikely thing to happen. Yeah, he only has 32% of the team's power play time this year, but somehow he's really producing. If I sort actually the team by power play points, the next highest is Luke Evangelista with 7, tied with Michael Bunting with 7. Then you get to Forsberg with 6. Steven Stamkos down at 4. Ryan O'Reilly also with 4. So I guess that's a reason why this team had been struggling. You'd hope if they're going to continue to be successful, then probably guys like Forsberg and Stamkos and O'Reilly will, and like Roman Josi also, who has 4 power play points. You'd expect those to be the leaders by the end of the year. But if you need a stream, if you're in a category like with power play points, seems like Erik Haula is pretty good at it at the moment. Jonathan Marchessault's out. I have nothing to say about that. Just giving you all the news on the Nashville Predators. So there we go. We're cruising through this. I guess this is going to be a pretty fast show when it's just me talking. Is it going to be a good show? You tell me. I don't know. But we've done Nashville. We've done New Jersey Islanders. Let's go to the New York Rangers. They won 5-4 in the shootout over Philly yesterday. There was a really good episode of the Short Shifts that Ryan Downey did with Lewis, but Ryan did a deep dive into teams that have had like 5-game weeks. Cause you know, everyone was like just picking the Rangers clean to get like those 5 games this week. And like, he was saying that maybe it's not worth it beyond like the guys that are already generally rostered anyway. And yesterday was a good example. They scored 4 goals, but like pretty much all of the points came from the people that are already rostered everywhere. You know, like Panarin had a good game. Trocheck, like I can get the exact stat line here. It was Zibanejad. Yes, Zibanejad had a goal and an assist. Panarin, 2 goals. The only name of like a player like that got any points that isn't like rostered pretty much everywhere, I mean, I guess Gabe Perreault had an assist, so that's nice. And then like Scott Morrow had a power play assist, and he's been getting top power play time. So I guess Scott Morrow, kind of interesting. But overall, yeah, it wasn't really worth it to go for your Shearys and your Labas and your Schneiders. So I guess has some peripherals sometimes. But even Schneider didn't. Like, I think Lewis said it on the show that maybe he'd be interested. But if you look at yesterday, Schneider played 25 minutes in that win against Philly. And only no blocks. I'm seeing no shots. Oh, it's looking to me like he did nothing, actually. So there you go. Definitely wasn't worth it for the Saturday game, at least. So interesting to take away for next time. Maybe don't go over the nobodies for these 5-game weeks where maybe those guys just can't keep up. JT Miller's hurt. I'm seeing that he's week to week with an upper body injury now. Ryan in the chat here is asking, this is two-time couple champ Ryan, by the way, thoughts on JT Miller? Waited out, try to trade. Like, I'm not liking what I'm seeing from JT Miller. Like, I'm not sure what to expect at this point. He has 22 points in 35 games on the year. You know me, I like to look at shots. He's averaging around two shots per game. He had a four-shot game against St. Louis 3, so he's been shooting a little bit more. So, I mean, he's good. Like, he's a good player. Like, I'd expect him to do better than, what is this a pace for now? 52-point pace. But I don't think we're looking at, like, a sure thing, like, point per game. Like, he's just, like, super cold. Like, the Rangers have kind of struggled. They're shaking things up. But anyways, now he's injured. So it's like, what are you even going to do if you can trade him? What are you even going to get? So it's kind of like, if you have him, I almost wonder if you just hold on or, like... Rangers have a really good schedule. I think it's the second week of the playoffs. It's like all the teams play on just busy days, and the Rangers are like the only team that goes Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, all light days. So if you are confident in your ability to make the playoffs, I think that would be a reason to give a bump to JT Miller just for that good schedule. But as far as like getting towards the playoffs, yeah, not especially exciting. And again, now he's hurt. I guess like the nice thing about the holidays is like, you know, a week, like next week, it's only like a couple games. The week after, again, like only, or I guess it's kind of a normal week. But yeah, in general, maybe you don't miss as many games. But yeah, I think that I'm not feeling like, oh yeah, it's JT Miller. He's going to be fine. Like, I think that he's getting older. Age is 32, almost 33. Like, it's closer to 33 than 32. Let's look at the Rangers lines, by the way, with Miller out. Because again, like, this is going to be the situation for a little bit. Panarin, Zibanejad, and Laff on the top line, and then Will Cooley with Trocheck and Sherry. So I guess it's a benefit for Will Cooley, who was playing in the bottom six. I'm not sure if the Rangers have had a power play yet today. They're playing against Nashville. They're done the first period, so I can just take a look here. Yeah, it looks like no power plays yet. I wonder if they stick with Scott Morrow on the top power play, or maybe Will Cooley goes back to the top power play. I know Lafreniere was there. So things have definitely been changing around a little bit for the Rangers. And good for Will Cooley if he's out there and he's now back in the top six. It's obviously better than being in the bottom six, though he's kind of doing fine. Like, I don't know if Will Cooley's going to do that much better than he was doing anyway. Ryan, I'd love to know your thoughts on JT Miller. If you think he's, like, if you can get him for super cheap, like I said, good playoff schedule, definitely some upside there. So if the team, especially like if the team, check in your league and see if the team who has JT Miller has a bunch of other injuries and they're like struggling with a full IR, then that's an opportunity to be like, okay, let me give you a fresh body. It's not going to be as good as JT Miller, but I'll give you someone. I'll give you, I don't know. It's hard off the top of my head to come up with like a good name to throw. Who's someone we've talked about on this episode so far? Heinemann? I mean, you're not going to pull that off. I don't know. Barzal? Barzal for Miller? I don't know. I think I'd maybe do that. I'd take Miller there. But again, you got to hold out for however long this injury is. Ryan saying, I agree with you. I'd buy low, but I'm not betting on him. Yeah, I think we're pretty much on the same page there. But yeah, that's the Rangers. Let's go to the Ottawa Senators, who are currently having a good game against the Bruins. They're up 3-1. Ooh, 3-1. It was 3-0 before. I have Pavel Zacha. Did he do anything? Ooh, assist. Okay. David Pastrnak. This is like, you could tell you're a fantasy player. It's like the team is losing 3-1. I'm just like, but Pavel Zacha got a power play assist. Pastrnak from Zacha and McAvoy. Sorry, everyone. You're going to have to bear with me there. What does that mean for my matchup here? So I'm up 237 to 227. Okay. My opponent has McKinnon. That's like the real, like, just get past him and we're okay. I have Austin Matthews. You'd think going into the year, I was like, that's not too far off. It's actually like very far off. Having Austin Matthews versus McKinnon, that's like, yeah, it's like Heinemann and JT Miller, right? Like, it's just like not in the same universe, which is kind of sad. But who knows? Leafs are losing 1-0. All right, where were we? Okay, so anyways, Ottawa Senators. So the big news coming here is that Thomas Chabot is back. And he got an assist on a Fabian Zetterlin power play goal. I guess that's the second power play. Another point for David Perron. He's been kind of hot lately. So you can take a look at Perron in your deeper leagues. I guess let me look at the actual lines that the Sens have been running today. Perron is with Cousins and Batherson. Cousins is cold again after going hot for a bit. Let's see if he did anything. Yeah, he has an assist today. So, oh, two assists for Cousins. So I guess that ends that. I actually didn't have it written down. I was thinking of writing down pointless and three for Dylan Cousins. I was like, it's only three games. He'll be fine. And look at that. I didn't even have to. He's already broken out of that cold streak. Giroux is playing with Ridly Greig and Amadio, and he has a goal today, though, assisted by Batherson and Cousins. So I don't know if that's maybe something that's already changed. And then, yeah, it's been Zetterlund on the top line with Stützle and Tkachuk. So I really like that spot for Zetterlund because both Brady Tkachuk and Tim Stützle have been going off lately. Going into today, Brady Tkachuk, five goals in his past three games, two goals his last couple games in each of them. Stützle is just getting like multi-point games, game in, game out. I'm seeing 13 points in his last seven. It was 13 and six, I think, going into today. Somehow Stützle avoiding points, which is generally impossible for him. But after the first period here, even though the Sens have scored three. So yeah, Stützle and Brady are awesome. So give me the guy with them. And if that's going to be Fabian Zetterlund, then yeah. And he's on that second power play where I see he just scored a goal. So he had a goal and assist yesterday versus Chicago. I think I could see the fun continuing. So definitely consider jumping on Zetterlund if you can fit him in. Again, like next week's schedule is kind of rough. I don't know if you're going to get any games from Zetterlund. Was Ottawa one of the teams that even plays on any of the off days? I'm saying no, they just play Tuesday and Saturday, both busy days. So maybe now's not the best time to grab him. But maybe if you look at the matchup and you see that you're far ahead or far behind anyways, might be good for the following week. Yeah, nice to see Shabbat back. By the way, he's been having a pretty good season, and now he's already gotten another point here. Tyler Cleven is out, which I guess isn't fantasy relevant, but maybe not great for the goaltending, though I guess so far Linus Ullmark, actually it's not a great, I'm looking now after this first period, he's letting one goal on only five shots. I guess I have to see. I guess it was a power play goal, though, by Pasternak. So I'm going to guess it wasn't the easiest shot to stop. Just a hunch. But yeah, Ottawa's three wins in a row going into today. Looks like they're on track. I don't want to jinx anything. Looks like they're on track to have another good game. Though it may be a little bit deceiving. The teams they've beaten in these last three are Chicago, Sens, Bedard, Pittsburgh, and Winnipeg. You may be like, oh, that's a good team. But when we get to Winnipeg, like they're actually bottom of the league right now. Like they're not doing well at all. So now they're playing against Boston, which is a tougher opponent for sure. And it'll be interesting to see if the Sens can keep this momentum going against like the higher level teams in the league. How long have I been going here? Around 28 minutes. Why don't I take a break? Take a drink of water. This is actually, normally I say we'll take a break, but it's really just because our podcast network tells us we need to throw to an ad break. But now I actually do need a break because I need to take a drink here because I'm talking the whole time. Hope this is going well. You're listening to Kim Carlson. I'll be back in a sec. Every yard, every sack, every interception, and every touchdown with Pick 6 DraftKings' newest game, every snap can turn into a big-time payout. This isn't just watching the game, this is playing to win. Here's how it works. Pick more or less on two or more player stats. The better your picks, the bigger your payout. It's that simple. And here's the kickoff bonus. New DraftKings customers get $50 in Pick 6 credits with just a $5 entry on your first pick set. You know the game, now make it pay. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN. Play just $5 and get $50 in Pick 6 credits. Make the call, ride the upside. In partnership with DraftKings Pick 6, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable. Pick 6 credits that expire in 14 days. Terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. Limited time offer. Five teams down, 27 to go. We're making good time. I think so. Having fun. Hope people are enjoying this solo shift that I'm on right now. Let's go to the Philadelphia Flyers. So they've got some potential injury news, but it might all be things that will be resolved once the break is over. But Vladar has been hurt. Briere said it's not too serious. Hope he'll be back even Monday. So maybe this is the kind of thing, once you're listening to this, Vladar's already back in the net, which would be good for Philly. He's been like a real, like, positive for them this season. I guess their main what's been a bigger positive, Zegras or Vladar? Probably Zegras. That's like the biggest. Like, you got him for nothing? For Paling is hot right now on Anaheim, but I think Philly's not regretting that deal. But yeah, Vladar's been a really solid, like, stabilizing force in the net for them. Christian Dvorak is hurt. He missed Saturday's game with a lower body injury. He's been playing with Zegras, like he's been on the top line, so he's been a pretty decent streamer at the very least in fantasy with Dvorak out. Oh, by the way, and he's like day-to-day. I don't think we have an update on like how long he's going to be out, so maybe this is also not a big deal. In the meantime, and I talked about this on Matchup Maximizer yesterday, because Philly's one of the four teams that have a Monday and Sunday game next week, but with Dvorak out, we saw Grebenkin playing a bit with Zegras and Konechny, and sometimes even Carl Grundstrom. So I think this is totally up in the air. And if Dvorak isn't back for Monday, I'll be curious to see who else gets a shot there. I mentioned that Denver Barkey is up with the team now, and I guess I was a little bit dismissive. He's a third-round pick from 2023, but Ryan Downey told me in the Matchup Maximizer chat that he's good, okay? So he got 2 assists in his first game of his career, and I guess we'll see if he can build on that. It was in 15 minutes also, which is pretty good for a rookie to get that TOI. Barkey was playing with Tippett and Couturier, so I guess you'd consider that like a top six line. I don't know. It was Brink, Michkov, Cates. That feels like a third line, right? Which kind of sucks for Michkov, but I don't know what you call it. But they played like pretty big minutes, like I'm saying. So I think this like Denver Barkey could be interesting. I'd be curious to see how he follows up. Sometimes these like rookies come up, have a good first game, and then kind of get really quiet. So me personally, I would probably be prioritizing other streamers over him. The thing is, on Yahoo, he just got added to the player pool, so I don't even think you can add him for Monday. He's still going to be on waivers in most leagues. So maybe if you're on another platform, you could add him, and otherwise you can just watch and see and maybe get him as a Sunday savior at the end of the week, Denver Barkey. But yeah, I also wanted to mention that Rasmus Ristolainen is back. I noticed this as I was recording Matchup Maximizer yesterday. So this is obviously not a big offensive force. Ristolainen last year played 63 games, only had 19 points. He's played 3 games so far this year, which is nothing special. But if you look at the peripherals, not too bad. 6 shots in 3 games, so 2 shots a game, 8 hits. It's over 2 hits a game, 8 blocks. So if you look at like a couple scoring, we're looking at around 3 fantasy points per game just from peripherals. That's kind of like Radko Gudas territory. And then if Ristolainen can get a point here and there, that could end up being someone pretty interesting. And he played 23 minutes yesterday against the Rangers. I know they did go to overtime, so that's a little bit inflated. But I think that's definitely someone to watch. Like if you're in a categories league, definitely interesting. And if you're even in a league like the couple of points league with some points for perifs, like if you're getting 3 games next week and you could use a defenseman, maybe you could do worse. So I think that's someone to consider. I'm also very interested in watching. I'm not jumping on Jamie Drysdale, but he has 4 points in his last 5 games. Kind of the first time we've seen a run like this, I think, in his career. So, or at least that I can remember. So I'm interested to see if he's going to build on this or if it's just a flash in the pan kind of thing. I'm seeing Ryan here is asking to rank some Philly players, I guess, going into this good schedule week. So Cates, Brink, Couturier, Michkov. And then you were, I guess Michkov is first, but like, is he actually? So it's a very good question. Michkov obviously has had an extremely disappointing season. I think we all expected him to build off of his rookie year where he had 63 points with like benchings from Tortorella. And it was like, okay, well now new coach, like he has some experience under him, but it's been terrible. 19 points in 34 games for Michkov. He does have 3 assists though in his last 4 games. So yeah, I will put Michkov first. Not like saying it's like a sure thing, but of those 4 for a good schedule week and the possibility that he can finally like unlock something and then be a hold for the rest of the year, I think that Michkov would be the easy choice for me there. I like Bobby Brink. He's doing well. So he would be my next pick. I'm seeing Sham saying he took Brink. I promise I was about to say that before I saw that Shams wrote that there. I'm not a Couturier guy, okay? So he's burned me too many times. So I'd then go Cates and then I'd have Couturier last. And that would be my ranking. So let me know if you disagree. Michkov, Brink, Cates, Couturier as Philadelphia streamers in a format like the Cupful. And I may even go like Erasmus Ristolainen over a Couturier, especially if you can fit him in the busy day where you can't fit the forward. That would definitely put him over the top. Or Jamie Drysdale, for that matter. And now I'm unlocking that like probably Couturier is going to get like a 3-point game. Ryan saying he took Brink too, and then for someone else to choose, and then took the leftover. Let the university. So who was it? Who was the leftover? I'm guessing Couturier or Cates. I don't know. I mean, these are both guys that are like aren't going to do anything special, most likely. Cates was interesting when he was playing with Forrester, right? Tyson Forrester was scoring some goals. Yeah, it was Couturier that Ryan got. Forrester was like scoring. It was looking good. I had him. And then now he's out maybe for the season or maybe he'll come back right at the end. But that was a big loss. And I think that also hurts like Noah Cates, who he was clicking with. So that's Philly. Let's go to Pittsburgh now. Look, everyone is bad right now on Pittsburgh for the most part. I'm seeing that Crosby and Raquel and Rust all are having good games today. Multi-point games for everyone. I guess Rust only 1 assist so far. Eric Karlsson has a point. So like the stars are, but what are you going to do with them anyways? There's not really anyone like that's jumping out as like, oh, you know that Oh, what's the first? I blanked on his name. Tommy Novak is playing with Crosby and Russ. You probably want to jump on Tommy Novak. I don't think we're at that place as good as Crosby and Russ are. Novak's not really doing that much outside of a 2-point game against Edmonton last week. So yeah, also Skinner hasn't been that great. Brian and I were saying, oh, maybe it's a nice opportunity for him. Maybe he'll still be worth holding in fantasy. I think at this point it would be tough to hold Stuart Skinner. Maybe, I wonder if both teams would take a trade back. Probably not. I guess Pittsburgh's happy with the pick and everything, but, they don't need to win this year anyways. But yeah, it sucks for Edmonton that they traded Skinner away and then Jari got hurt, but maybe the Oilers like, well, whatever, like whatever we get from Ingram tonight is probably just as good as what we would have expected from Skinner anyways. That's going to be very interesting, by the way, Connor Ingram getting his first start in forever for the Oilers. I'm very curious to see how he'll do. Didn't go so well for Pickard yesterday against Minnesota. That's a tough opponent. Right now, by the way, on Pittsburgh, though, Shelovs is winning. We're going to the second period. A lot of game to go. That's the story over in Pittsburgh. So we can go to the San Jose Sharks now, where Will Smith is still injured. Kurashev. We've got some new fun names, though. This is definitely a team where I'm interested. And I'm wearing my Sharks hat right now in support of the big names on the team, which are the guys playing with Celebrini, at least yesterday versus the Kraken, in Colin Graf and Igor Chernyshov. So first of all, just to say the obvious, Malcolm Celebrini is freaking incredible. He has 11 points in his last five games. He's pacing for 123 on the season. Like, I haven't heard anyone tell me that they think this is, like, not sustainable. Like, maybe he'll go down to 115, but this is, like, shaping out to be, like, just one of the more incredible sophomore seasons that we've seen. And he had 74-point pace last year, Celebrini, and he's, like, destroying it. Like, insane. To a point where, like, it's not like I'm going to come on and be like, oh, now that he's playing with Chernyshov and Graf, maybe I'm a little worried about Celebrini slowing down. Like, it's the opposite. It's just like, no, grab Chernyshov and Graf. They're playing with this rocket ship that is Malcolm Celebrini that can't be stopped. So, yeah, Colin Graf on that line. He had a goal yesterday against Seattle, two goals the game before versus Dallas, an assist the game before versus Calgary, two assists the game before versus Pittsburgh. Like, Colin Graf is going off. I saw someone post the meme on the Discord of the, look at this Colin Graf, and like a picture of the guy holding, and it's like, I can't get it out of my head anytime I hear his name. I wish that San Jose could have a good schedule at some point so I could jump on Colin Graf. I haven't been able to bring myself to do it. I think he's still available for me. And you know, if he gets taken, I'm kind of into this Igor Chernyshov, who was a second-round pick a couple years ago, finally got into the league. He's played three games, 3 points, just like that. And all assists, but he did have five shots yesterday against Seattle. So this is a great situation. And neither of these guys, by the way, on the power play. So you could also get exposure from Celebrini if you have Eklund or Wenberg or Toffoli who have been there. But yeah, I think in general, like there's just some fun names. Assuming, so yeah, I mean, I would probably take Toffoli and Eklund, though I don't know, like I'm kind of, Colin Graf and Chernyshov might be closer than we think. I think I like Eklund a lot. Okay, so maybe he's like, you know, at a different level, but I think Toffoli, Chernyshov, Graf right now, Wenberg, all kind of in that vicinity of just like, get those guys that are playing with Celebrini and you could do something. So that's my take on San Jose. And obviously, like if you have Will Smith, you're hoping he'll be back soon so he can get in on some of this fun also. And of course, he's not just someone who gets in on the fun. Will Smith is someone who contributes to the fun as well. And we'll see who gets bumped if and when that happens. And Kurashev also, who was getting some good opportunities at points. So we can go now to Seattle, who did beat San Jose yesterday. Seattle, another one of these teams that has the good schedule next week, playing on both the Monday and the Sunday. Chandler Stephenson is on a nice point streak. What is he up to now? I know he got another point yesterday, maybe even 2 points yesterday. I guess, yeah, one goal, one assist for Stephenson. That brings him to 9 points in his last 8 games. It's an 8-game point streak. So every game he does something. Not a lot until like a 2-point game yesterday, but and then plus some shots. There was a 5-shot game recently, a 4-shot game. With a good schedule coming up. Like, I kind of am annoyed that I'm in such a close couple matchup that I wasn't able to make some moves for next week. If I lose, and I've also now missed out on like Eberle and Stephenson and all the guys I mentioned in Matchup Maximizer yesterday, it'll be really frustrating just because like I could have just added those guys. And so anyways, hopefully I come out with a W. So it's okay if I'm a little bit behind the eight ball next week, because I see my opponent for next week, Team Stoof, has already added Jordan Eberle. So that's annoying. At least someone else. Stevenson's gone, but someone else took him at least. But I think Stephenson would be my pick of like the guy I'm most excited about. Also, Ellie Tolvanen, 4 points in his last 3 games. So I know this is Seattle and we joke around this all with someone else, but on a good schedule week, it's nice that you'll have options of all these players on hot streaks. And right now, yeah, Stephenson, Eberle, Tolvanen. Then like I mentioned on Matchup Maximizer yesterday, there's always Matty Beneer. years. I hope at some point he becomes like just like the top. We would have assumed he'd be the top fantasy asset on Seattle. Hasn't happened. Brandon Montour, by the way, is hurt. Do we have an update there? Let me see if I can bring that up really quickly. He's being evaluated later today. This is a quote from like 4 days ago now. As of right now, I don't expect him to play in Calgary, but we'll see. Potentially join the team at some point on the trip. Okay, so not too serious. Maybe after Christmas, Brandon Montour will be back. So we don't need to dive in too much to that. Also, by the way, don't look now. Joey Decord, 4 straight quality starts. He had a really rough stretch, but starting to turn it around. If you were, if he was dropped in your league or something, I would definitely jump on Decord, especially with some of these other guys on offense, like running a little hot now. Maybe that'll be good news for the goalie. He seems like a good goalie. Like, yeah, it's going to be tough to just consistently be great all season long on not an amazing team like Seattle. But I think Decord is as a guy I'd like. I wish that I had the foresight to buy low when he was cold, just like a week ago or so. Cause yeah, it's really turned around pretty quickly. But okay. I want to take a quick break. I just got to go check and see what's going on in my matchup here. So what are we at here? 239 to 233. Oh my gosh, he's coming back. Who did it? MacKinnon scored, of course. Lawson Crouse. Get out. Josh Norris. It's very frustrating when you have Tage Thompson and Josh Norris scores. And you're like, oh, I wish my guy in Buffalo had scored. It's a 10-point swing right there. Anyway, this is very close. This is very, well, obviously, Austin Matthews has nothing. Tavares has nothing. Oh, and I have Hildeby in net, so he has negative points so far. It's only 4 shots against. So Toronto's actually playing well defensively, it looks like, but they're still losing 1-0, and Hildeby still has a negative, so that's fun. Okay, back to the show. St. Louis, they've got some injury trouble, certainly. Snuggerud's out, Holloway's out, Kyrou is out. So we've seen a lot of new faces in the lineup, and kind of like San Jose, like... some interest there. Like, these new faces are coming in and actually doing stuff. They claim Jonathan Berggren off waivers from Detroit. A nice start to his St. Louis tenure. He had a goal versus the Rangers on Thursday and then a goal and 2 assists yesterday against Florida in the 6-2 win. So that's pretty sweet. Also, I'm seeing that Berggren was playing with Rob Thomas and Pavel Buchnevich. I think we'd call that the top line. Also, I'm seeing the top power play was Buchnevich, Thomas, Berggren, Neighbors, and Justin Falk. Yeah. So this is a top line, top power play guy who's hot. What do I need to say? Like, I know he was, I think there was a pedigree there at some point. I think like that's like a disappointing result for the Red Wings that they ended up having to waive the guy. He was a second round pick in 2018. I think he was good in the minors, couldn't really hold a spot in the lineup. But could be a Tolvanen situation where now that he goes to a new team, he turns out to be pretty decent. So I'm interested in Jonathan Berggren for as long as these lines hold. He's doing well. Like, obviously, no guarantees, but that's a name you should definitely know. Though, again, let's look at the schedule for next week for St. Louis. Is there any opportunity? They play. Oh, they do play Monday, Saturday. So you can get a Monday streamer. I don't know if you're holding then to like not fit him in for the rest of the week, but you can look to the floor. Okay, maybe let's look at week 13 here. I'll just bring up a lot of notes here. St. Louis. Oh, the next week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. Though the Monday, Wednesday are kind of busy days, so maybe check, but could be a good schedule. I don't know. But obviously then you have to hope that Berggren holds that spot for so long. But anyways, yeah. That's a name that definitely you should be paying attention to because it was somewhat high pedigree, now getting a great opportunity and producing. What more could you want? Then we also have another somewhat high pedigree guy. Otto Stenberg was playing on a line with Neighbors and Shen. This is a guy who was a 25th overall pick a couple years ago in 2023, and he did nothing for a couple of games. But yesterday, 2 assists versus Florida. Not shooting at all. He had no shots in his first 2 games, only 1 shot yesterday, but I'll take 2 assists. So this is definitely a tier down from Berggren at this point of our no-name St. Louis streamers. But, and I'm sure now Ryan's going to come at me and be like, Stenberg's not no-name. He's good. He's almost as good as Denver Barkey. But yeah, I mean, if he's in the top 6 playing with Neighbors and Shen, and if he's got a couple points last game, I'll definitely take someone on the top power play first. So definitely give me a Buchnevich or a Neighbors. But next up, yeah, give me Berggren, and then give me Stenberg, or I guess there's also Dalibor Dvorsky. Speaking of rookies, Dvorsky, he did have a good game, a couple games. He had an assist, I guess, a couple games ago. He had a 2-goal game, yeah, at the end of last week. So hasn't been incredible for Dvorsky, but another guy that maybe we can see do something. I'd probably put him in the same tier as Stenberg at this point. Take a top line, top power play guy. And by the way, did you hear when I mentioned that Justin Falk at least in the last game, with all these injuries, finally St. Louis can't really do two power play setups. They just put all their best guys on PP1. You know, Thomas, Buchnevich, Neighbors, Berggren. I guess that's what it is, unfortunately. But that also means Justin Falk being there means he got a decent amount of power play time in this last game. 69% of the power play time, when usually it's a lot closer to 50. And he rewarded the team and his managers with a goal. For sure, it wasn't a power play goal, so he did that at even strength. That's actually Falk's fourth point in his last five games. So he seems pretty solid. Like, I like Justin Falk as a bottom end D on your roster. I don't see a reason to ever consider dropping Justin Falk at this point. Like, I have him in a couple. Like, he's not even, like, he'll have to go cold for a really long time before I even think about cutting him loose, because I have a lot bigger problems, and he seems like a pretty solid guy. Even when he goes cold, like, he went cold a couple weeks ago for a few games. He was still taking a few shots, had some blocks, getting good minutes. And it's like, we're seeing he has the ability to, like, get on the power play, get some points. So nothing wrong with that. By the way, Shams is saying, as long as this is about Berggren, as long as the Blues are hurting, he will be interesting, but we'll be curious if he's in the top six when guys like Kyrou are back. Yeah, once Kyrou and Holloway and Snuggaroo, that's a whole other story. Like, I'm only interested in Berggren now for, like, Monday. Get him tomorrow while he's still on the top line, top power play, and then, you know, reassess very often when you have someone like that on your roster, certainly. We can go to the Tampa Bay Lightning next. So they've got a bit of a carousel going right now. It's Brandon Hagel who is injured. He's joined Victor Hedman on the IR. So that's led to Tampa rolling lines, at least yesterday against Carolina. It was Yanni Gourde, I'm seeing, with Kucherov in point, and Sorelli was with, like, Gergensens and Holmberg. So who was playing with Gensel? Oh, Gensel with Nick Paul and Bjorkstrand. I don't know. They lost the game. Like, maybe things will just change. I'm not sure. Like, Sorelli is super cold. It looks like he was bumped from the top power play. The top power play was Kucherov, or maybe Sorelli hadn't been there for a while. It was Kucherov, Bjorkstrand, Point, Gensel, Darren Radish. So I think those are the main guys we want. And Bjorkstrand, obviously a fringe option on the team at this point, though he did have 2 points in his last three games, had a 5-shot game. So I like him if he's on the top power play as, like, a streamer at best. And he's been on the top power play, actually, Bjorkstrand, for a while now, and he's had a few good games. You look at the game log, every couple games he's doing something recently. So don't forget about Oliver Bjorkstrand. I also brought up, because Tampa, again, one of those few teams that has the Monday and the Sunday, so I'm into Bjorkstrand for that stream. Also kind of into JJ Moser on D. I guess this is kind of in the Ristolainen vein. Even though, like, Moser is getting points, I don't expect him to keep it up to too much of an extent. It's 5 points in his last five games, but I just like that he's playing big minutes. Moser, he's getting blocks, he's getting shots, so he's, like, contributing those periffs, and right now he is also getting the bounces and getting some points. So I think Moser could be very interesting. Like, you know, Radish kind of came out of nowhere. Moser, like, these guys are getting big minutes because of these injuries. I know McDonough is back now, but Moser still played almost 23 minutes yesterday. So definitely another name. You know, I got to bring up the hot, like, guys who are not available anywhere, the shallow league guys, then Moser would definitely be a deeper league pick. But definitely take a look and see how he compares to the other defensemen in your free agency, if he's out there, and the other defensemen on your team. Next up in the alphabetical order of the NHL, we get to the Toronto Maple Leafs, who are a very frustrating team to have fantasy assets on. Joseph Woll is back, so that's nice. Didn't go amazing yesterday against Nashville. 3 goals against on 29 shots. Went a little better against Chicago in his first game back. Meanwhile, Hildeby took a loss against Washington. We'll see, like I mentioned before, not going incredibly well. He's only let 1 goal so far against Dallas. I guess Toronto is holding Dallas to a few shots. We'll see how this turns out today in this game. In the meantime, like, Austin Matthews not doing anything. Morgan Riley not doing anything. Matthew Nye is not doing anything. It's just a very frustrating situation. Shams is saying in the chat that they've just let in another goal, so that's definitely not good for me. Maybe I should not have played Hildeby. I had him from, like, back when Woll was hurt, and it worked out for, like, that week, but I probably should have just dropped him when Woll came back. I just saw that he was going to get a couple games this week, so I was like, okay, might as well hold on. But I guess if it's a game against the Dallas Stars, you need to think twice. Hey, okay, so we have actually a question from patron Chris. It's a bit involved, but I'm just going to read through it, okay? Curious if you have any Leafs fantasy takes for three potential scenarios that could evolve over the next month. So, number one, they stick with the coaching staff they have and the roster they have. Number two is they relieve Berube and hire someone who establishes a game plan more catered to the way Matthews and Nylander like to play. Or three, they signal or make moves to indicate they think this roster is not competitive and begin looking to next year. I think this is interesting content because of the way the different scenarios play out for the fringe guys like Robertson, Domi, and Cowan, but for sure impacts the Stars as well. Yeah, like at this point, I'm not paying attention to Cowan and Robertson and Domi. I'm paying attention to John Tavares and Austin Matthews and William Nylander and Matthew Nyes because it's like we need to get these guys going. So at this point, I'm all for a coaching change from a fantasy perspective because whatever. Like, you know, I saw some tweets about how like the Oilers have changed their coach like a whole bunch of times while McDavid and Draisaitl have been there. And those guys, you know, so that maybe it helps. I don't know. But like we need our guys to score. So for fantasy anyways, I'm ready for a shakeup for sure. So I won't be mad to see Berube gone. I love this idea of like coming up with a game plan that's more catered to Matthews and getting points. I'm not biased. Okay, but that would be really nice because this has been a tough fantasy world. We've started talking in my allied chat. We're all people who picked six overall couple this year. So a bunch of us have Matthews and we're starting to talk about like, are we trying to trade this guy? What are we doing with him? Like, just for context, for people who don't have Matthews that aren't aware, like he is pointless in three. Well, pointless in two going into today so far. But more concerning is the shots. You look at the shots over the last few games, 3-2-1-2. Like, this is a guy who was supposed to be like 6-7 shots per game. Maybe that's exaggerating, but you know what I mean? Like, he was supposed to be like a star. Like, he's just like a nothing. Very frustrating. Like, I'll take an assist at this point, which shows. So definitely like my division should be like, I'm an emotional player. Brian makes fun of me all the time. Like, people should be like offering me buy lows. Like, I mean, not so low. I don't want to like get laughed at, but I would take like probably some players for Matthews like that were taking like the second round of the draft. I don't know if that's like reaching too high at this point for me. Does that answer Chris's question? I guess what I'm saying is that, all right, you want, like, in terms of like how the fantasy impact is of all possible scenarios, if they do nothing, like maybe things, I'd imagine they'll do a little bit better. You'd think like these are talented players. You think they figure out a way, maybe they take the break and, you know, like kind of get back on track a little bit. So I guess that's totally possible. But I think that's like not ideal fantasy wise. Like, changing the coach could be good. And if they start looking to next year, what does that even mean? Like, who are they trading? Like, I don't know. I guess I'd have to see what the moves are that they make. Like, yeah, maybe then Easton, if they move like a big name, then Easton Cowan moves up the lineup. I guess that could be interesting. But who are you moving? Tavares just signed. Like, Matthews is signed. Like, Nyes, they're not moving. Like, I don't think they're going to really move anyone. Like, Morgan Riley, maybe? I don't know. Does he have a no trade clause? I know that's always something that makes things more complicated. Oh, goal called off. FYI, offside. Yeah, so we're back to 1-0 for the Leafs in Dallas. Woo-hoo-hoo. Go Leafs. Come on. All right, so let's go to the Utah Mammoth now. Here's a name that we haven't mentioned in a while on the podcast. Going into today, Sean Durzi, points in four straight games. This is a guy who had a brief moment of fantasy relevance when he first got to that organization before they traded for Sergachev. Unfortunately, I remember he was injured for a bit of the day, but I'm looking now. It's 3-0 Utah against Winnipeg. So yeah, another tough game for the Jets, who continue to fall. Durzi, I'm seeing, yeah, another assist on an Alex Kerfoot goal. And I was going to mention, I saw a tweet saying Kerfy is back. I was like, who's Kerfy? But yeah, it's Alex Kerfoot. So he's back. And he has a goal. Look at him. Just like Jack Hughes. Also, I'm seeing that Daniil Boot scored his first NHL goal yesterday. So that's fun. But yeah, I just wanted to mention Durzi and his hot streak right now. I think generally things are pretty standard over here in Utah. Genther getting going a little bit. JJ Paterka scored today. I saw Nick Schmaltz got center eligibility on Fantrax. I don't think he had that earlier in the year. That was helpful in one of my leagues. Over on Vancouver, so if you recall, they made a trade that we talked about last week. They traded away Quinn Hughes. Did you know that the Canucks have won four straight games since trading away Quinn Hughes? Look at that. They did. What a bum. Or, you know, so this is obviously just, we'll see. It's hard for me to believe that Vancouver is good now, especially because it's not as if the guys they've gotten have been like the big reason. You know, we talked about Zeev Bouyum, who like had a goal and assist, I believe both power play in the first period of his first game at Vancouver. And he's like, oh boy, jump on the Bouyum trade. Like since then, he's done nothing. So in 3 games and 2 periods, we've gotten no points from Zeev Bouyum and also barely shooting. No periffs, so he continues to be kind of similar to what he was in Minnesota, where he was on the top power play, which is like not like especially interesting, right? So I think that Bouyum, you know, I'm not saying to drop him necessarily. Top power play is nice, but he just you got to be ready to produce, and it seems like he like has it in him in fits and starts, but doesn't seem like he's ready to just totally take off, at least from what we've seen so far. But yeah, Marco Rossi hasn't done much. Leon Ogram actually is the best of the acquired players so far, had a goal and assist yesterday, only played 12 minutes and 21 seconds. That was actually his highest ice time on the Canucks. We'll see if that keeps going up. I was sub 10 minutes before. But yeah, whatever is happening is like it's working lately. Maybe like Filip Hronek is actually the big winner of this trade. He's been having huge time on ice since Hughes was gone and has 4 assists in his last 3 games. So even if he's not top power play, you know, big even strength minutes, maybe a bit of an increase. I know he was playing with with Quinn Hughes at even strength. And now we're seeing that Brock Faber is doing well with Quinn Hughes on the other team. So I don't know. Maybe this is also just a mirage. I don't know. I need to see more from the Canucks before having a big takeaway. My big takeaway right now is just like, Marco Rossi, Zeev Bouyum, like even on the top power plane, getting good deployment, far from a sure thing. No, they're no Kiefer Sherwood, who had a hat trick recently. Evander Kane actually had a good week against me, which is kind of frustrating. That's always the worst, right? When you drafted someone, dropped him, kind of regretted it, and then he's now getting points against you. So, but good for you, Evander Kane, I guess. By the way, I've also been seeing some stats that they went to a shootout in the last game. Kevin Lankinen is apparently like really awesome in shootouts. So next time the Canucks go to the shootout, can they just switch their goalie to Lankinen then? Is that allowed? I think it is, right? They can just swap out Demko for Lankinen. Do you think Demko would be mad at that? If he had like a really good game, they went to the shootout, they're like, give it to Lanky. He apparently has a better save percentage in shootouts than some goalies have, like at even strength when there's like defense on the team. Shams is asking, Utah only plays once on Tuesday next week. Any interesting cuts? I mean, to be fair, yeah, Utah only plays once, but there's also a lot of teams that just play on Tuesday and then Saturday. And you might be bet. So if like these are bottom of your roster guys, you might be benching them also. Like, so it's not as if Utah's the only team where you're, if you have a player on them, you're not getting any games from those guys, like Boston, Buffalo, Calgary, Carolina. Like I can go down the list. There's quite a few teams. But still, if you're saying like interesting cuts, it's like, as a podcaster, I gotta say, like, it's easier to recommend ads because if it doesn't work out, I didn't like blow anyone's season. But if you recommend, like, who am I gonna recommend to drop? Like, let's be realistic here. Like, I'm not gonna recommend to drop Keller or Schmaltz or Paterka, who have been on the line together or doing well. I'm not gonna recommend to drop Genther. And then who else? I'm not gonna recommend to drop Sergachev. Like, maybe Jersey's an interesting drop. Like, he's on a hot streak, he's doing well. Oh, and that's Shams is saying maybe Jersey. Yeah, like, look. He's Sean Durzi. He's on the second power play. It's a nice hot streak. Clearly, he's getting something going. If we want to look a little deeper into this run, he is playing like not even 20 minutes a game most games. He's not on the top power play. I guess I already said that. His shots are, he had 1 4-shot game and 1 5-shot game, which were great. Aside from that, it's been 1s and 2s. Who knows if this is just the start of something? Maybe he's going to start shooting more. But I'm not mad at like just thanking Sean Durzi for the production he's given you. And now moving on, if he only plays one time for you next week. So yeah. I give permission to drop Sean Durzi. I'm not too worried. I think it's also the kind of thing where you can get him back, right? Like if once you get to the weekend of next week, once you kind of know the result, you can always just get Durzi or whoever you drop back. I can't imagine people are going to be rushing to add a guy who's not helping them much next week and isn't a big name. So yeah, there's my permission to drop. You can drop also Barrett Hayton, who I know has gotten a point recently. But yeah, I don't think any of the big names, I don't have like a real juicy drop recommendation for you. Outside of Jersey. But let me know if you disagree. I'd love to know in the chat here if you think there's a name that I should bring up there. So that's Utah. I already talked about Vancouver. Let's take a break here. We'll do Vegas. The holidays are here, and that means it's the most wonderful time of the year. to save with Rakuten. Rakuten, use them to stack cash back at your favorite stores on top of holiday sales. That's saving on savings. With Rakuten, you can get cash back on gifts for everyone on your list, from toys for the kids to kitchen gear for the person who loves to cook to electronics for everyone. You can even save on something for yourself. Just shop the stores you love and cash back is automatically added to your account, and you can choose to get paid via Interac, e-transfer, PayPal, or check. Join for free today and get a new member bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to Rakuten.ca, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Spells Rakuten. Terms and conditions apply. So we're almost to the end of the alphabet. We're getting to the Vegas Golden Knights, who are definitely in flux because of injuries to Jack Eichel and Shea Theodore. My sense is, I guess I should have actually looked this up before I came back from break, while you were listening to all those fascinating advertisements for all these products that will help you in your day-to-day lives, I could have been doing something useful here. But I'm seeing, okay, Shea Theodore week to week, Eichel is day-to-day. So Eichel might be back sooner than later. So I could tell you the lines. They have new lines today for this game against Edmonton. I don't think it's the kind of thing we really need to pay too much attention to, just because like things could change and Eichel could be back. But Marner with Barbashev and Stone, and Hurdle with Dorofeev and Saad. So, okay, Braden Bowman in the bottom six. Those are lines. Like, I'm not sure. Yeah, Barbashev's been like hot and cold. I like him with Marner and Stone, but you know, he's always on a good line and still like doesn't do too much. I saw that Noah Hanifin was on the top power play versus Calgary yesterday, had a power play assist. That was only Hanifin's seventh point of the season. I didn't realize just how much of a nobody Hanifin has become. He's kind of like a Dougie Hamilton Western Conference. And they used to be on the same team, remember, over in Calgary. But yeah, I think that Hanifin, if he holds that power play, I'll be interested. But and Theodore is week to week, so we'll see if they go back to five forwards. I know they were doing that for a bit. If Hanifin holds it, maybe he can turn his season around a little bit. He's probably available in a lot of leagues. I'm actually surprised he hasn't hit free agency in my couple division this whole time with how nothing he's been. The other thing I wanted to mention on Vegas, I don't think we've actually talked too much about Carter Hart. Like, we talked that he was coming back. He's like doing pretty great, right? 918 save percentage now in six games, getting pretty decent volume. He got three starts at the start of December in a row, and then sad, and then like two, and then sad, and now it's like, it seems like he's getting a starter's workload. Like, Schmid seems like he's getting a backup's workload, and that's just how it's going. So I think that we're at a point where we can just say Carter Hart is a starting goalie, and he seems to be just fine. Like, I don't see much rust here. Seems like he's just as good as he was on Philly. And if anything, Philly was like a bad situation. They sucked, right? Like, he was kind of like winning them a lot of games they maybe wouldn't have won otherwise. So, yeah, I guess I have some regrets for not getting Carter Hart where I could have, including in some dynasty leagues. Yeah, I don't know what to say at this point. Like, I assume he's taken in all of our leagues, but this is a starting goalie on a good team, and he was available for all of us for a while. So there it is. Kudos to everyone who grabbed Carter Hart. He looks like he's going to be a solid hold for the rest of this season. And maybe when Brian and I do more goalies board next year, I'm curious to see. Obviously, it'll depend a lot on how this season ends. I wonder how high he's going to end up. Over in Washington, this kind of hurt, I got to say, because I've got Wilson and Chychrun, and they played an afternoon game today against Detroit, and both of my guys did absolutely nothing. It was very frustrating to watch. Good game for Dylan Strome, two assists. Great game for Ethan Frank. I think we've mentioned him on the podcast, Ethan Frank. Like, he's done, this isn't the first time, right? Like, he's in the bottom six. You wouldn't expect too much from the guy, but he, two goals today. I guess it's been a while, right? I remember he had a two-goal, two-assist game. Wow, that was already November 20th. Man, time really flies. Don't you all remember that? Doesn't it feel like yesterday that Ethan Frank had that big game? Okay, so I guess overall he's not doing too much lately. Maybe it's just a once in a while. We've got that big game potential that I was saying before with Heinemann. I guess I still like Heinemann better, but good for Ethan Frank having a big game. Wish it was Tom Wilson. In the meantime, this was Ovechkin's fourth pointless game in a row. You know, Brian was saying that he, like, you know, here's the story, right? Like, Ovechkin was cold, And then I brought it up on the podcast and was like, oh, is this maybe like the end of like Ovechkin being like amazing? And Brian was like, yeah, I think actually it probably is. And then Ovechkin went like super hot, scorching, was getting points and goals every game. So then I came back on the podcast. I'm like, Brian, I guess we really blew it. And he was like, actually, you know, under the hood, I still don't love what I'm seeing from Ovi. And I think I would try to sell. And I was kind of like, come on, we can't keep doubting Ovi. I think Brian's clearly good at this. There's a reason why I generally have a co-host, aside from just what you're hearing from this episode today. I think also... this guy is very good at fantasy analysis, and I'm not, and obviously now watch Ovi go off again, but yeah, he's cold again. So I like starting five shots today against Detroit. So that's something. With Ovechkin, you never know. Like I need to see the highlights, like how dangerous were these shots. Yeah. So Ovi managers now maybe wishing they had kind of sold super high when they had the chance, but we'll see what things bring again. This is just me sharing the news and then people can decide what they think it means in terms of, but yeah, definitely worth pointing out that Ovechkin has gone cold in the past couple of weeks. And then yeah, to end the alphabet over in Winnipeg, I already mentioned it. Winnipeg's lost three in a row. Looks like it'll likely be four in a row. They're down 3-1 right now against Utah. They just got a power play goal from Kyle Connor, from Scheifele and Vilardi. Yeah, like their big names are scoring, but it's just they don't have a ton of depth. And it just seems like, I don't know, something's changed since last year. And obviously that stretch with Hellebuck out didn't help, but they've lost three in a row even with Hellebuck back, and they're losing again today. So I don't know. I feel bad. I think when we did Schmore Goalies Board, I have to go back and listen to what we said about Hellebuck. But I think we were like, it's a good team, good goalie. Like, you know, what can go wrong? But like at the same time, it's like, it's a goalie. Like there's no guarantees. I don't know if I would be like reaching so high for Connor Hellebuck. And like, this is the reason, right? Like Logan Thompson right now, I think is the odds on favorite to win the Vezina at this point. So that just is another reason to not maybe use a second round pick on a goalie or a third round pick after they've had like a career year like Hellebuck had last year. Because Winnipeg seems to be in a little bit of trouble. So, we'll see if they can have a big comeback today against Vejmelka and the Utah Mammoth. Let's go now to the top of the alphabet, to the Anaheim Ducks, who they've been switching around their lines a little bit. Ever since Mikael Granlund has come back, they were having Troy Terry with Granlund for a bit. But it seems like in the last game yesterday, for what it's worth, in the win over Columbus, they went back to having their typical top six, Terry, Carlson, Kreider, and then McTavish with Gauthier and Beckett-Senecky, which led to Mikael Granlund playing on the third line with Vetrano and Ryan Strome. But you know what? Mikael Granlund was just fine with it because he continued his hot streak, scored in his third straight game. It's now 5 points in three games for Granlund. My guess is if this is going to continue where he's in the bottom six, I don't think this is a hot take to say I doubt that he'll be able to keep this up. But I do think that it is worth mentioning that Granlund still obviously has some talent. And of course, the lines could also change. Yeah, they did have the win, but it was a close one. So we'll see if things shake up some more as we go. We'll see if the power plays change. But in the meantime, yeah, Granlund probably overperforming. But hold for while it lasts, I guess. If you can sell high, I doubt you can. By the way, another hot streak on the team, Ryan Poehling. I mentioned it before. Fourth liner. He's like the hottest guy on the team. 6 points in his last four games. Had another assist yesterday. Had a goal game before. Had a couple two assist games before that. Definitely do not think this will last. But I'm sure Anaheim is like happy to see some returns from the guy they traded Zegras for. In the meantime, also, I should mention that Lukas Dostal has kind of cooled off a little bit. He seemed like one of the top goalies maybe in fantasy at the start of the year for a while. But yeah, ever since coming back from his injury, hasn't been incredible. A lot of 3-4 goal against games. Overall in the season, we're down to less than a .900 save percentage for Lukas Dostal, .899. I still like him. I still think he's a good goalie, but you know, maybe Anaheim is just not like right there yet as the team where he can really like be incredible. Maybe I'm seeing like a negative 3.29 goals saved above average against Dallas. To be fair, that is Dallas, but that is supposed to take into account how difficult the team is against, but it's tough to come up with good stats, right? Okay. And he got pulled. Dostal, I would say though, this is like a good buy low time. Like I like him. I still think he's good. I think this could be an opportunity. If you have him, I would hold. And if you don't have him, I think maybe you make a call if you need a goalie. Now could be a good time to get him a little cheaper. Same with actually like a Cutter Gauthier, Leo Carlson. They're all cold right now. The power play is ice cold. Shams tweeted out a tweet of how they're 0-8 in their last three games, 1-14 in their last seven games on the power play. Like it's been a while since they've been doing stuff. So, you know, it's like, I think like my takeaway, again, this is just basic. It's like, I think they'll be fine. I think these are good players. I would love to get Leo Carlson or Cutter Gauthier if you have them. It's frustrating. Maybe you've lost a week or two because of them, but I would hold. And if you can get them, I think now would be a good time to make your offers on those guys. Lucas Dostal as well. Definitely in the chat, let me know if you disagree here. By the way, we've got a Rangers update. The Rangers got their first power play, and it's Mauro, Panarin, Trocheck, Zibanejad, and Cooley. All right, so Cooley just took over from JT Miller, and then no Lafreniere. So Lafreniere has been bumped again. So, okay, now I could use a Cooley point. That'd be nice. Okay, well, now that... It's like you mentioned the name of a player on my fantasy team, and now I need to take a look. Oh my gosh, it's so close. I'm up 243 to 240 now. Yikes. Every time I look, it's... Come on. Oh my... Jeez. Okay, let's go to Boston. They also switched up their lines recently. Mid-game in the 5-4 loss to Vancouver yesterday, they went to a middle stat with Lindholm and Pasternak, and Zaka with Geeky and Kuznetsov. I believe, yeah, like, so Boston is playing again today, so I guess we can check and see what they've been rolling with. Let me see here. So, right, today they've been going with Zaka, okay, so they did change it up again. Pasternak is now with Zaka and Mittelstadt, and then Lindholm with Geeky and Kuznetsov. So, okay, same names, a bit of a switcheroo here. I guess I like seeing Zaka with Pasternak at even strength and on the power play. We'll see how long that lasts. We've already mentioned it to death, like, on the show, how, like, it seems like Morgan Geeky is able to produce. Doesn't really matter if he's with Pasternak at even strength or not, which is super surprising, but he's been hot. He had a goal and assist yesterday against Vancouver. The goal was on the power play. Elias Lindholm is on a great hot run. Zaka's been good. Actually, it was like David Pasternak was pointless yesterday somehow in a 4-goal game. That's probably pretty rare, but like I mentioned, he does have a goal today already, even though Boston is losing. So that is what's going on the Bruins. Oh, yeah, I guess I should give some takeaway here. I mean, look, like if Casey Mittelstadt is playing with, you know, but I don't know how long these lines are going to last. They're playing against Ottawa, and Ottawa's crushing them, so it'll change again. But it seems like I like Zaka. I like Lindholm and Geeky. You can't get them. And then Casey Mittelstadt seems to be hanging out, and Kuznetsov in the top six. But it's hard to get too excited about those guys, especially if they're not going to be on the top power play, and especially if the team's losing, and they're going to want to shake things up soon. Like, Mittelstadt has 2 points in his last 4 games, including today. Not nothing. Not incredible. Buffalo. So they've won 5 games in a row, the Buffalo Sabres, after beating the Islanders 3-2 yesterday. The Sabres are playing today against New Jersey. I already know that Norris has a goal. I'm thinking now it's 2-1. Who got the second goal? Benson from McLeod and Jack Quinn. Tage Thompson can't get in on that? All right. That's fine. But yeah, so the Sabres really on a run here. Maybe, like, you know, they're doing a lot better than the Leafs have been lately. Sorry, Leafs fans. Maybe this could be the year where the Sabres make something of themselves. Alex Lyon, by the way, has won all those 5 games. So he's been, and we've seen this before from Alex Lyon, helping a team that we didn't think would be in the playoff picture and then taking them there. Who was it? Was it Detroit that year? There was one, or Florida. I think it was a Florida year when Alex Lyon helped drag them into the playoffs before Bobrovsky took back over at some point. So yeah, Colton Ellis went down. I remember Shams and Elizabeth talked about it on a short shifts and tried to figure out what the impact would be. I don't think either of them guess that it was going to be Alex Lyon running away with the starting job. But today, UPL is playing. It looks good so far. Stopped 17 of 18 through 2 periods, 2-1 over New Jersey. So we'll see how this game shakes out. Aside from the goaltending and the team winning games, Rasmus Dahlin is hot. 10 points in his last 7 games going into today. He had a cold stretch before that, but he's now pacing for 71 points on the season going into today. His career high, Dahlin, is 73 points. So he has a good chance of having a career year, which is pretty interesting considering where things looked at some points. But yeah, I'm interested. Like, I think I'm not like a Sabres fan or anything, but I'm not an anti-Sabres guy. And at this point, I'm kind of just rooting for them. Like, I guess it's going to be at the cost of someone not making the playoffs, who maybe a team I like Montreal or Ottawa or Toronto, but I would love to see Buffalo get in there just because it's been forever. It'd be nice for them. I'm seeing a chat in the chat here. Benson or Doan? All right. Generally, when I get a question like that, that's not super obvious to me. I'm going to look at a couple things. So Zach Benson is playing on a line with Quinn and McLeod, which, you know, Quinn has actually been pretty solid lately. I'm seeing that Benson, like I just mentioned, scored today. Generally, he's been on the top power play, which I like. generally two or one shot. So that's the Benson story. Doan has been playing with Thompson and Peyton Krebs. So obviously exposure to Tage is good, though I'm seeing Doan has only 1 point in three games going into today. Before that, he was on a little bit of a run. Also on the top power play, taking some shots. So I guess give me the guy with Tage at the end of the day. They're both on the top power play. They're both kind of shooting the same. So my gut says give me Josh Doan. But it's close. I don't see like an obvious answer there. So let me know if you disagree in the chat or in the Discord. Taking a sip of water here. This is tougher than I thought. Just talking and talking. But okay, let's go to the Calgary Flames now. Big game yesterday in the win over Vegas for that Backlund Coleman Zari line. That's like a nice clutch line for the team, right? Like fourth or third liners that seem to like don't go cold for too long, especially like Blake Coleman having a decent enough season, 17 points in 36 games, but he had two assists yesterday. The other two had 3 points, Backlund and Zari. I wouldn't expect it to keep up, but always like solid streaming options depending on the week. What's going on with Matt Coronado? He had a stretch. Remember, he was like scoring a lot, like taking like tons of shots. He's gone super cold. Only one goal, no assists, and 5 total shots in his last 4 games. If I lose this week, I definitely have a lot of blame for Matt Coronado. Plus, he only played 13 minutes and 13 seconds yesterday. A couple of games ago, Coronado only played 10 minutes and 26 seconds. I searched on Twitter. I'm trying to find some reporting. I'm not seeing any like what's going on. Like his line mate Huberdeau has points in 4 straight and they play together on the top power play. So I'm not sure what's going on. If someone from Calgary can let me know, like is Coronado a drop at this point or is just some bad luck? Like at least if he's going to go cold, show me some line combos where he's in the bottom six so at least I can know that I can let the guy go because he just like gave me nothing this week aside from that one goal. And yeah, I'm mainly concerned about the shots and the time on ice, right? Like guys go cold all the time, but generally a guy who was taking like 5 and 6 shots a game a few weeks ago going to no shots and no ice time, is he hurt? Is he like getting punished? So someone let me know. But Coronado's on snoozer watch at this point. I wouldn't drop him just yet, but I'm waiting for some reporting or at least some news. Or I guess some more data, right? If we get another 3-4 games of this, I think at that point you have to really start questioning. That you would think if he's playing with Huberdeau and Frost and still on the top power play, he can't go cold for too long. But also, I don't think he's going to stick in that deployment if he's still cold and not shooting, right? So something's got to give at some point. Carolina Hurricanes next. Bad news out of Carolina is that Seth Jarvis is going to be out a while. That's a quote from Brind'Amour. And then the beat writer was like, yeah, the Brind'Amour, he never knows what he's talking about. So I don't know, trying to be like, maybe it's not like too long. So who knows? Okay, so but that's the current take on Seth Jarvis. So obviously a big loss to the team. The Hurricanes lost 6-4 to Tampa. Did I say that Tampa lost? I mean, that was a mistake when I was talking about Tampa. They won. Okay, Carolina lost 6-4 is what I'm seeing here in my notes. But yeah, it looks like Carolina was shaking up their lines in the third, trying to get things going. So it's going to be really hard to predict like what they're going to do for their next game. Svechnikov, Aho, Jackson Blake seems to be the line that they landed on for a lot of the game. So yeah, you'll have to see the lines. I'm seeing that with Jarvis injured, Nikolai Ehlers got back on the top power play, though they were still considering that thing, or I guess doing it sometimes where Jordan Staal takes the face off and then gets off the ice. But in general, this could be an uptick for Nikolai Ehlers if he does get consistent PP1 time now. Ehlers has been okay. Like he had a power play assist yesterday for what it's worth. So right away started to capitalize. So yeah, this could only be good. And he's been fine. Like I'm counting now 5 points in his last 6 games. But top power play will certainly boost his value. So that's the one beneficiary, I'd say, of Jarvis being hurt. In the meantime, Andrei Svechnikov is on a nice little run. He scored yesterday 5 points in his last 3 games. So I guess another thing with Jarvis out, that's just like more rope for Svechnikov to not get bumped to the bottom six and off the top power play. So we'll see if he can keep it up. Jackson Blake also scored, and he has 4 points in his last 4. He's also been on the top power play again. It's been Aho, Svechnikov, Blake, and now Ehlers, and then your Shane Gostisbehere. So yeah, I guess while Jarvis is out, I would expect those to be the guys on the power play. I guess the question is just what happens at even strength and how things get shaken up. I think Carolina will probably figure it out and Rod Brind'Amour will figure out a way to shake around the lines a lot and the team will bounce back and be generally okay. That's my bold prediction for the Hurricanes. By the way, is Frederik Andersen just like never going to play again? He hasn't played since December 4th. He was having like not a great season, but they were still like playing pretty often. Then as soon as Brandon Boosie started doing his thing, it's just been like, forget about you, Frederik Andersen. Like, I wonder how he feels. Like, he's just, I mean, he's having a really terrible season, right? 874 save percentage in his 14 games, only 5 wins on a really good Hurricanes team. So I guess they're just like, we don't need this guy blowing games for us. But I do wonder if at some point, like, I can't imagine this is it. Like, his career's over. Like, at some point, give him a start or trade him. He seemed good last year. He's 36 years old. I guess time comes for us all, but he's actually healthy. I don't know. I'd be curious to see what happens with Frederik Andersen. But right now, I have him in one of my dynasty leagues. Should I buy him out? I'll have to pay a penalty. But I mean, well, there's no point holding a guy that's literally never playing. I didn't expect this. I acquired him last year in a trade. So I wanted to shore up my goaltending. I was expecting just like a solid guy who plays 50-50, not a guy who never plays. This is a very strange turn of events. I guess this is the Brandon Boosie effect, of course. Let's go to Chicago now. Look, they've lost 5 in a row. Bedard is out. Now Frank Nazar is hurt and estimated to be out 4 weeks. There's no timeline on Bedard, by the way. They're not saying they're going to go with how he's feeling. So this is just a bad situation. Like, hey, congrats, Nick Lardis scored your first NHL goal. But I'm not interested in anyone on Chicago. By the way, Spencer Knight now 3 straight losses with 3 goals against in each game. If you don't have Nazar or Bedard, I just don't see it. So if you're holding anyone on Chicago, it's because you're just waiting for some reinforcements. I don't think it's a good situation over there, so I apologize. I have nothing positive really to say except for congrats, Nick Lardis, and he seems to be a good prospect. Over to Colorado. They're playing today against Minnesota. They are doing just fine against the Wild. I'm seeing McKinnon still with only the 1 goal, so thank goodness for that. Brock Nelson has just scored to make it 4-1. Yeah, like Jesper Wallstedt having a great year, but it's tough when you're against the Colorado Avalanche and Nathan McKinnon. There's 3 minutes left, so we'll see how this game shakes out. The lines have been changing around a little bit. I saw that. Actually, it was more the power play. Lekkonen was bumped off the top power play recently. Let's see. Today, yeah, again, so it's been Nelson and Landeskog on PP1 with McKinnon and Nichas, and then Cale Makar as the defenseman, which has bumped Lekkonen to the second power play. I'm also seeing, actually, that Lekkonen wasn't on the McKinnon line today. It was Landeskog with McKinnon and HS, so I don't know how long this will last. Last week, we were even talking about how Gavin Brindley got a shot up there. I think that Colorado really is just playing around, seeing what they have. It seems like no matter what they do, they win anyways, so why not experiment? But you have to be a little bit concerned if you have Arturi Lekkonen. If he does end up being bumped permanently from the top line and top power play, that would suck. But also, like, I wouldn't drop him yet because that can just change in a second. And then you'll really be kicking yourself on a guy that has 29 points in 35 games on the year. We're seeing what the upside is when he gets the deployment. And he still did have an assist yesterday against Winnipeg, for what it's worth. Nothing so far today. But no, it's a big hit. And it's great if you have Nelson or Landeskog, right? Like, you just want that exposure to McKinnon at all strengths. Side question, I'd love to know, not that this is so fantasy relevant anymore, but that's even surprising, right? Like, I'd love to know, what happened to Devon Taves? He sucks. He's like a Noah Hanifin and Dougie Hamilton. Like, this is the year of defensemen who have been solid forever, all of a sudden just being nobodies. Like, Taves has 11 points on the season in like 35 games. He's pacing for 27 on the year. Devon Taves has paced for 47 or more points in each of the past 5 seasons, like basically since he got to Colorado. Like, his time on ice is like a little down, but not even by much. I'd love to know. I'd love to know what's changed. Is it that Brent Burns is there? Is it that Sam Malinsky is eating into his production somehow? Another goal from Sam Malinsky today. But oh no, did it get taken away? I thought I saw that Malinsky scored, but now when I'm looking at the game log, I'm not seeing any Malinsky points. But okay. Anyway. Someone that would be like the KK beat reporter. I'd love to just ask like Devon Taves or ask the coach, like, what happened to this guy? Is it just bad luck? Like, does he have a different job now? I'm sure he was drafted in every couple division and now he's been dropped in all of them because he's just barely a streamer. Strange turn of events. Let's take our last break. I have a few teams to go, not that many. And then I'll come back and finish this off. I'm pretty impressed with myself. My voice is still holding up. Can't wait to hear the feedback. Would love to know. I don't mind, by the way, if you're like, you know, you can be nice about it. If you want to just say, I'll know, I'll understand the code. Okay. If you're like, great attempt. Thanks for doing something when no one was available. Looking forward to Brian coming back. I'll get the message, right? But like, I'd be curious to know what people think if this is something like listenable all the way through. But we'll be back in just a sec to finish off here. We'll go to Columbus. So yeah, we're on to the Columbus Blue Jackets as we finish off going through every team in the league, giving some updates before we go into our Christmas break here. Still a couple games on Monday, Tuesday. That'll be fun. But yeah, not fun in Columbus that Zach Werenski got hurt blocking a Troy Terry shot. But the news came out today, no broken bones. He's only day-to-day. So it looks like we've dodged a huge bullet. Could have easily, like, no one would have been surprised if it came out that, like, something was broken. He's out like months, right? So that's huge for Columbus, who clearly still sees himself as, like, a potential contender, considering they just traded picks to get Mason Marchment, who, by the way, scored in his first game against Anaheim. So good for him. We had some wild lines in that game yesterday for Columbus versus Anaheim. Like, I can give you the lines. Miles Wood was hurt, and he's only day-to-day, so I'd imagine him coming back will shake things up, and they had Marchment in. But it was, I mentioned this on Matcha Maximizer, by the way, yesterday, so you can get a bigger recap of Columbus on that episode. But yeah, Fantilli, Johnson, and Marchment, then Jenner with Marchenko and Charlie Coyle, and then Monahan with Voronkov and Cole Sillinger. Those were the even strength lines, and then Monahan, Voronkov, Fantilli, Marchenko, and Werenski on the top power play. So potentially, like, a lot of value if these lines hold. Like, you know, you have Coyle centering Marchenko. That's a guy that's available everywhere. Jenner's may be available in some places. That's a great spot for him at even strength with Marchenko. Then you've got, like, Marchment with Fantilli. I like that. Kent Johnson, he's, like, somehow disappeared, but he's getting some assists lately, but hard to like him with his low ice time and no peripherals. And then, yeah, Voronkov and Monahan all of a sudden looking like a third line with Cole Sillinger. Though Cole Sillinger was a high pedigree guy at some point. So it's just like, I'd be curious to see if this, I don't think it's going to settle here. This will be a fun situation to watch shake out and see how Columbus's lines look like in a week from now, in a couple weeks from now, once, like, you know, they've got Marchment in. I guess Miles Wood comes back. We just get to see what the final result is and see what's going on here. Ah, oh, McKinnon just scored an empty net goal. I'm probably losing now. Let me check here. 2-4. Yeah, I'm losing by 1 point. Oh my gosh. It's going to be a real nail biter, it looks like. Wow, 245 to 244. My whole team, I just needed one person. No one scored a goal today. I had the full lineup. Every forward and defenseman spot taken, and so far not a single goal. It's just Pavel Zacha and Thomas Chabot each have an assist, and that's it. So if I lose, it's like, it's all on my team. Like, my opponent didn't even, like, beat me. It's like, we beat ourselves here. We suck. We suck, guys. Matthews, come on. You have a period left. Just do it. Do the thing. Get a goal. Win me this matchup. Is that fun? Is that fun content? Me freaking out? Okay, let's go to Dallas, the team that has been stopping Matthews from scoring today. The most recent team to stop Matthews from scoring. Did we ever mention on the podcast that Matt Duchene is back? We must have, right? Because it's been like a couple weeks, but I don't remember mentioning it. So yeah, FYI, Matt Duchene is back, and he is doing absolutely nothing. He had one good game where he had, it was like a goal and assist versus LA a couple weeks ago. But since then, pointless in all the other six games he's played. So far, pointless today. We'll see what happens in the third period against Toronto. But yeah, I think you're getting close to snoozer alert on Matt Duchene, though. At the same time, I'm seeing he's playing with Rantanen and Johnston today. Like, that's a pretty sweet spot. Like, yeah, he's not on the top power play, but how could you not like a guy in that spot, right? It's tough. I think you got to hold. I think he got to hold for as long as he's playing with Rantanen and Johnston. How is Matt Duchene not going to get points? But I'd imagine that would be very frustrating. But those guys are doing well. I think this is how it works. That's like fantasy, right? Like, I feel like this is one of the laws of fantasy hockey is you want the guy, especially when it's kind of a talented player in Matt Duchene. So I think I'd be holding, but I'd be really frustrated. Do you think at this point, Casey DeSmith is the best spot start in the league? I think maybe yes. He's available always because he's like the backup, but he like actually plays like pretty decently, like plays off. Like, he got the Monday game this week when it could have easily been Ottinger, like it wasn't off a back-to-back. I grabbed DeSmith for the Monday because I also saw they had Thursday, Friday. So I also got the Friday game, which was another win. So it's like a pretty solid Monday, Friday, two goalie games that were both high point wins, especially the Monday. He seems like a really good goalie. Like, I don't know. Maybe even in some leagues, it's worth even holding Casey DeSmith, and he's not only just a streamer, because if he's going to play one or two games a week with a decent number of fantasy points, and then especially if you, like, you need a second goalie, like let's say you only have one goalie, and you can just kind of lock that in. You don't have to use any moves on goalies. You're guaranteed your like 7 fantasy points, 8 fantasy points per game, sometimes 1 week, sometimes 2 a week. I don't know. He's really good. Good for him. I mean, it's clearly Dallas is really good. And Ottinger right now is a 20 save shutout going after 2 periods. And yeah, I don't care about jinxing it. I kind of want to. But DeSmith is having a really good season, so good for him. But okay, that's Dallas. Detroit. So like I said, they won today 3-2 against Washington. Patrick Kane is still hurt. In the meantime, this guy, John Leonard, who they called off, has been playing with DeBrincat and Kopp. And Leonard had another point today, I'm seeing. He scored a goal. Yeah. Look at this guy. I remember back when he was on in the Sharks system. And I remember people were talking about maybe there was some upside there. But then he totally disappeared. I forgot he was even still a person. And then now all of a sudden, here he is with the Detroit Red Wings and playing in the top six and getting some points. So I don't know. They play Saturday, Sunday next week. Maybe some people will be adding John Leonard as a Sunday savior. John Gibson continues to be great, right? He had a win over Washington yesterday. We talked about him last week, John Gibson. He continues to do really well. Oh, by the way, Shams is saying that when John Leonard was called up, he was the top goal scorer in the AHL. So look at that. Who's that guy on LA? LA has a prospect, or maybe finally he's moved to another organization. They had a prospect who like always was like blowing up the AHL, but then never like could do anything and hold a job in the NHL. I'm sure someone will remember the name that I'm talking about, but I guess John Leonard is able to actually translate it to the bigs. So good for him. But yeah, John Gibson is doing well. I don't know. That's all I really have to say. I streamed in Simon Edvinson for four games this week. He had two assists yesterday, but overall, I guess, kind of a bust. I don't know. I guess like two assists in four games at the end of the day is kind of what you would expect from a Simon Edvinson stream. Could have used more than a single block and shot today in his 25 minutes, but I guess there it goes. I had the option on Monday to stream in Aaron Ekblad, who had three assists in his four games. So I guess that would have been the better choice. Maybe that would have made the difference. But I went with Edvinson. You know why? I'm not going to name names, but a certain prospect-loving Keeping Carlson host, when I gave a bunch of names of the defensemen available who I was looking at, I feel like it's like, I think I should, I need to like discount if it's a prospect from certain people's advice. Maybe just go with the tried and true Ekblad. But Edvinson seems like a good player. No shade. Okay. Should have gone with Axel Sandin Pelikan. He had an assist today. But okay, let's go to the Oilers now. Yeah, that should have been the headline of the week instead of right at the end of the show. But you already know. You already know. Jari's hurt. It sucks. They traded to get him. They're like, okay, this is going to solve our goalie problems. Looking kind of good for the first few games, with the big caveat being he's a little injury prone. Well, now, apparently, we've got news today. He's out like week to week. Going to be a few weeks. I'm very curious to see, like I said, how Connor Ingram will do today. Has that game started? No, it's starting. Oh, it's the end of the first. Oh, it started at 8. Yeah, it's already 9. I've been talking for a long time, eh? So it's 2-0 for Edmonton. Connor Ingram has stopped 7 shots so far. Okay. Okay, good on you, Connor Ingram. Let's see. Like, he had a really good run at times in Arizona. He was looking like he was like a really good goalie. And then he went to the player assistance program. He had like a tragedy, right? Like, and then he was like mourning and maybe led to some whatever. We don't need to get into the whole story. But like, it seems like when he's good, he could be good. And apparently he's been having a really tough time in the AHL. But we know how sometimes goalies just don't do well in the AHL, but do better in the NHL just because the defense is better. You have more some goalies are like better with like a good structure in front of them that they can play with. So we'll see. I mean, it's been one period. I don't want to go crazy. But I will say that if this game does turn out well for Ingram, I don't think it's going to be like 50-50 with Pickard, or Pickard is the starter. Right? Pickard stinks. Like, they got Jari for a reason. So I think any goalie that can have a good game is going to easily overtake Calvin Pickard and get a lot of games. So that's something to definitely watch if you need a goalie. I see Jack Roslovic is back today. So that's good for them. Like, obviously, he's not going to be in as amazing of a role because since he went down, Zach Hyman has come back for the Oilers, and Hyman is on a super hot streak along with McDavid and Draisaitl. All three of them just going nuclear lately. I'm seeing today already McDavid has a goal and assist, and Draisaitl has two assists. So yeah, it's just this is what we're used to. So maybe the Oilers will be able to overcome even bad goaltending. They couldn't yesterday against Minnesota. We'll see how it goes today. But like, when their scores are going, like, they're allowed to let in a few bad goals and still pick up these wins. So we'll see how this works out. And yeah, Roslovic, I'm seeing playing with Nugent Hopkins and Max Jones. I mean, he was on a nice run. Like, I think there's potentially something there. Oh, and I'm also seeing Roslovic was playing a little bit with Draisaitl and Podkolzin. Okay, I shouldn't be looking at, like, the lines from today, which is, like, a game that's barely started. I should look at, like, what the practice lines were going into the game. So I'm seeing, no, Roslovic with Draisaitl and Podkolzin. I like that. So if Roslovic is playing with Dre, I think that's where he was before and it was going well. And then McDavid with Hyman and RNH. So that could definitely be a good spot to, like, if Roslovic was dropped or if you had him in your IR, bring him in. I have a hunch he'll do okay. Though, of course, the power play would be a big loss because he was getting a lot of his points there. We can go to the Florida Panthers now. Like I said, Ekblad had a good start to the week. Overall, nothing special, though. A couple good games and didn't do anything with the last couple. I did not enjoy going at my opponent. One of the big reasons my opponent has stayed ahead of me at this point. Brad Marchand, Jesus, what a season he's having. Now we're up to 9 points in the last five games for Brad Marchand. He's pacing for 96 points. Dude is 37.6 years old. He's closer to 38 than 37. And he is just scorching the league right now. Like the Panthers, you know, and he was slowing down back when he was on Boston, right? Like it wasn't looking like it was going to be like it looked like Brad Marchand was sort of like going into the sunset, like really good in the playoffs, not necessarily regular season. But anyone who got him super late in their drafts this year, like loving it. He's doing great. It'll be fun to see what happens when like Matthew Tkachuk comes back. But I don't see a reason why Marchand's been playing lately with Bennett and Verhaeghe, which has been, like, we've talked about a lot, how Ben and Verhaeghe are doing well. So they've split up Lusterein and Lundell. Instead, like, Lusterein and Lundell are going with Reinhardt, which is, you know, not slowing down Reinhardt one bit, by the way. 7 points in five games for himself. So he's, like, clearly a superstar that he also, like, if people were worried about what's he going to be able to do without a Matthew Tkachuk or Barkov in the lineup, like, I'll tell you what he can do. He's 35 points in 35 games, Sam Reinhardt. So these are some star players, and it's really impressive that they're able, that the Florida team is able to continue to get this production, losing like two of the top players in the league. So yeah, we'll see what continues. Lusterainen, by the way, is pointless in four games, but like I said, if he's playing with Reinhardt and Lundell, I think this is a guy that could still get some points. So he's probably been dropped everywhere. I think depending on the week, if there's a good streaming schedule, I'd still have time for an Eetu Lusterainen as long as he's playing with Sam Reinhardt or Marchand if they switch back. And then let's go next to the LA Kings. Big news in LA is that Darcy Kemper is hurt. There's no timeline right now. And you know what? He's been having a really good season. So you would think this is going to be a big loss. And I'd imagine it will be. I think he's the reason they haven't lost worse in a lot of the games that they have lost and even like stolen a couple games. In the meantime, Anton Forsberg wasn't having a great year, but he's stepping up a little bit here. He got the win versus Tampa, letting in only one goal on 32 shots for the 2-1 win. That was 3 days ago. It's been a while. LA didn't play this weekend. Kind of annoying. They ended their week on Thursday. Before that, yeah, a couple... that was out, by the way, on a back-to-back. Forsberg also got the start against Florida the game before, where he led in three goals on 28 shots. Didn't get the W there, but pretty impressive to come in on the back-to-back. It was only a 3-2 loss against Florida. So we'll see if Anton Forsberg can hold up. Phoenix Copley has been called in as the backup. LA does play Monday, Tuesday next week. I wonder if Copley gets a start or if they just continue to ride Anton Forsberg. But if you need a goalie, if you've lost Tristan Jarry, maybe you could do worse in the short term. With Anton Forsberg, though, LA's got to figure out how to score some goals here, right? Like Byfield, another pointless week for him. I held him. Kind of, I don't know. Do I regret it? I guess we'll find out. But he's now pointless in 8 games, Quinton Byfield. So it's like this guy, something's got to give here with the Kings. Jeez, like they've traded Phil Deneau. So they've moved the lines around a bit. I'm seeing in this last game against Tampa, they rolled with Fiala, Fogle, Byfield, Kopitar, Kempe, Laferriere. Then I guess everyone else is bottom six, Kuzmenko, Turcotte, Trevor Moore. So I guess Kuzmenko takes the Deneau spot. Those don't seem like similar players. So yeah, we'll see. LA, I don't have a lot of hope. I probably need to be considering dropping Byfield. I could have dropped Byfield and Coronado today to stream in Connor Ingram. And then maybe I could, because I would have had to like activate someone out of my IR first. Maybe that could have been a weak winning move for me that I was too wimpy to do because I didn't want to drop two players that I like. But we'll see if I end up really regretting that, because like maybe Coronado and Byfield are just like not worth it anymore and it'll end up being a big L. So fantasy's tough. You know, these are tough decisions. Maybe if I didn't have the podcast today, I would have had more time to really like consider. I was kind of like prepping when I started thinking, oh, that is an option that I have actually. If I wanted to, I had the open goalie spot. Okay, so that's LA. We're almost done here. Wow, look at us. We're on to the Minnesota Wild, who have 7 wins in a row. They are scorching. 3 of those with Quinn Hughes. Brock Faber, I believe that when we talked about the trade last week and I mentioned, you know, the impact for Minnesota, Brian mentioned that maybe like now, or I don't even, maybe he was like, okay, so forget about all these other defensemen now, Spurgeon, Faber, blah, blah, blah. Just mention them all in one, you know, not interesting now because Hughes is going to just take power play all the time. But Brock Faber continues to produce actually. And maybe it's like, maybe we didn't consider the obvious, like he's the top pairing with Quinn Hughes. And if Quinn Hughes is really good, then maybe that's going to lead to points for Brock Faber, who was doing pretty well beforehand also. But we're looking now at 4 points in his last... Oh, I guess Minnesota's playing today. So it was 4 points in the last four games, looking like Faber nothing today. So maybe we just ended... I don't know. It was a fun game. Anyway, Jay Brew actually had a point that he brought up in the chat that I was going to bring up. He was an interesting angle that may have not been explored around the Hughes and Faber discussions in Minnesota is that Hughes plays so many minutes. I'm going to just kind of summarize here. But like, if Hughes is playing so much and then Faber is his like line mate for defense, then could that also lead to more TOI for Faber? Tell me if I'm getting this right, Jay Bruin. So maybe that could lead to him getting increased value. So anyways, yeah, maybe Brock Faber isn't like a sure drop. Like, yeah, the power play is definitely not going to be attainable for him, but he's getting a lot of even strength exposure to Quinn Hughes. So that's what's going on. And like, the team's doing really well. Quinn Hughes seems to be fitting in like a glove. Matt Boldy, by the way, is scorching 8 points in his last four games. Here's a fun fact. Matt Boldy has 43 points in 36 games on the year going into today. Who got the goal? It was like one goal today for Minnesota. So let's see if anything changes here. Ryan Hartman from Brodin and Kaprizov. Okay, so that means Boldy has 43 points. Kaprizov now has 42 points. So it's close. Like, Boldy's actually ahead. Who would have expected that going into the season? I would have thought it was like going to be Kaprizov. You know, it was like in most drafts, like Kaprizov was going mid first round and then Boldy was like late second round. But really, it's like Boldy. I think there's an argument to be right up there with Kaprizov, at least the way the season has gone. He's incredible. Also, some other hot streaks, which I guess ended today. Vladimir Tarasenko had 4 goals and 2 assists in 3 games since the Marco Rossi trade. None of that on the power play. I know for a bit, Tarasenko was getting really good deployment. I think that's actually changed. Let me give you the updated lines from today, which again could change again after a tough loss. Though it was against Colorado, so maybe they'll just shake it off and be like, okay, we've had a busy schedule lately. We had to take an L at some point against the top team in the league. Today was Kaprizov with Ryan Hartman and Zuccarello, then Boldy with Ek and Johansson. So yeah, that moved Tarasenko down to the bottom six, along with Danila Yurov, who was centering Kaprizov for a bit. But yeah, today was Trenin, Tarasenko, and Yurov. And then the top power play, all the big names. So Zuccarello's back. I guess that's actually the big news that I probably should have led with. Zuccarello, Eriksson Ek, Boldy, Kaprizov, and Quinn Hughes. So I don't think that top power play is going to change anytime soon. So I think your Tarasenko's and your Hartman's, like whatever, could be interesting. You got to watch and see. Like, I like Hartman now if he's playing with Kaprizov and Zuccarello again, just like 3 years ago when we first started being interested in Ryan Hartman. But who knows how long that'll last. So just, you'll have to watch. But yeah, you want the guy centering Kaprizov and you also want a guy playing with Boldy. But right now that's I guess Marcus Johansson, who we've seen go hot and cold all throughout the season. So definitely there's always the potential for a Marcus Johansson to get a point playing on that line. That's Minnesota. So I guess we have one team left now, the Montreal Canadiens, who... No, I talked about Montreal. We're done. Look at us. We made it through the entire league. What time is it? 9:09? When did I start? 7:30? I guess I didn't actually take too much shorter than the real mega show with Brian. So maybe it's always been my fault that these shows go too long. Or maybe I just don't need to bring up something from every single team in the league. But I've had a good time. Thanks everyone who joined in the chat. Hopefully, you had a good time. I had a nice time chatting with you all. And thanks for all the comments to help me along here as we went. Thanks everyone, of course, for downloading the show, subscribing to the show. We appreciate you still checking us out all these years into this project of trying to make a good fantasy hockey podcast to help you be successful in your leagues. Make sure if you're new, this is not standard fare, but if you think you'd be interested in hearing me along with another really smart person, then subscribe to the podcast. Wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple, Pocket Cast, you know where. I just heard a podcast recently that was talking about, like, they were advertising that you can get podcasts on Amazon. I didn't even know that. There's an Amazon Music. Why am I advertising them? I don't know. I hope we're on there. I should probably check and see if we're even on Amazon Music. But yeah, that's it for me. Oh, we have a Patreon if you want to help support the show. We ask for $5 a month and we give basically all the perks. Then we added a new perk called Super Supporter for $10 a month where you can get ad-free episodes and also get shout-outs. Oh, am I going to have to do the Super Supporters? I am not. Usually Brian does that. I'm going to apologize in advance to the Super Supporters. Actually, strike that. I have figured out how to find the Super Supporters. So thanks so much to them. Let's cue the outro music. We'll go ahead, read the credits, which are basically this podcast is presented by Dauber Hockey. And we are powered by our patrons, including our super supporters who give us $10 a month. And we thank them by giving them ad-free episodes along with all of our other perks. And also a shout-out at the end of the episode, including, as well, I'll say the names now, S. Taggart, Adrian, Kendrick, Richard. Should I say that? Let me know if you're a super supporter. Let me know if you want me to say your last name. I guess you don't have to give me your last name on Patreon. You could have just given it with an initial if you didn't want people to know your name. But I guess I'll do what Brian does. Richard. Thank you, Jack. Paul. Top Cheese 4, Roman, Bridag, Patrick, Aaron, Philip, Benny, Henrik Jatelius, Caton, Sammy J, Andrea, Zachary, Ryan, Terry, Stephen, Peter, Thomas, Connie, David, Ricard, and Patty, our first ever patron. So yeah, thanks so much to them. And honestly, I guess Brian gives like a bunch of credits of a bunch of websites he used. I'll tell you the websites I used. I used Frozen Tools a ton, GameDayTweets.com, which is a website that Shams and I made and Shams and I helped populate. But it's also like really useful to plan fantasy hockey podcasts and also just to play. So definitely check it out if you want to see the latest news and lines and starting goalies. It's all at www.GameDayTweets.com. Thanks to the Short Shifts team for another great week. Last week, check out the Matchup Maximizer that I dropped yesterday for in-depth look at the schedule for next week. And yeah, until we're back, I guess after the holiday, do everything you can to make sure that fantasy hockey is for everyone. And also, let me give you an update on my matchup. I'm up 248 to 246. Did someone do something? Who did it? An assist from Mike Matheson. I asked for that. Okay, is that going to be enough, though? We'll see. Okay, see everyone. You'll find out in the Discord if I'm a happy person or if I just don't even release the show because I'm so angry I throw my computer out the window. Bye!